Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, some hot conversation at the top. Of course, I make you laugh and think. And we'll take some questions, some calls, and news coming up. First, J.B. Weld. Quickly, J.B. Weld, proud sponsor of the Adam Carolla Show. These guys make epoxies and adhesives. They've been trusted for over 50 years, and it's available at jbweld.com. Retailers everywhere, including Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, Amazon, Michaels, and more. J.B. Weld.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, X Games gold medalist Travis Pastrana. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Dave Damashek's here with good sports. And now, with a mask covering his nose and mouth, it's even more important to have his eyebrows waxed so he looks interested. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on a mandate. You get it on, man. Excited to talk to Travis Pastrana later on in the show today. First, good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
YOLO, man.
Oh, yeah.
That was Sean White.
Sean White, right. Yeah. Travis may, in an interesting way, be one of the best athletes in the last 20 years, in the sense that what he's doing is crazy and athletic, but if he fucks up, he dies. Which you can say, boxing, there's a chance, and football, there's a chance, and downhill skiing, but there's a real chance that what he's doing is a combination of daredevil. I'm pretty sure I saw an episode of like Nitro Circus where he jumped out of an airplane with no parachute. No parachute.
And lands on what?
I was going to say.
And walks away.
The trick, and you can look for it. Sorry for putting you on the spot. The trick is you jump out with no parachute, and I think you have to hook up with a guy who does have a parachute who jumped
no,
earlier.
No, thank you.
He has his shirt off. He's wearing board shorts, and he jumps out of an airplane.
You drinking a beer?
Yeah, he has some in his hand.
I'm going to go Red Bull.
Yep, you're right, Red Bull.
He's doing flips. He's doing flips.
Not a care in the world.
He's not a care in the world, but he's not wearing a parachute.
They got him.
Wow, that's some James Bond shit.
Somebody's riding him.
Somebody is sexually, not only is he without a parachute, he's lost his dignity. He's being raped by a man from behind. Yeah. But here's the deal. He jumped out of an airplane in a pair of board shorts, and that was all.
I don't know. There was no hesitation on his end. He just, is it time to go?
Yeah. I think if you're pensive and you're contemplating, maybe this isn't the act for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you got to make a few phone calls, if you want to speak to your therapist.
Get your affairs in order.
Make sure your insurance is paid up.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be awesome if he had an emotional support animal with no parachute that he threw out with him.
Yeah. Say tucked under his arm.
You know how outraged everyone on the internet would be if he took a lap dog and jumped out with it. They'd burn his house down. So anyway, that was that's Travis Pastrana. So I'm very and he's a funny guy who's kind of engaging and interesting as well. So we'll do that. Yes.
Well, the idea for his new show, because I watched a little bit of it, is it's awesome and it's like living every child's fantasy. But that is 100% something to be very careful before you show your kids, because it's essentially taking their childhood toys and blowing them up into life size and doing daredevil stuff. And we got a kid in here that's going to be like, can we go down the street in a giant rubber duck and slam into it? Like, it's too tempting to want to try something like this.
Well, you think that's bad. For my kid, it would be recreating Fortnite, like taking actual warriors with machetes
we
and
be
hatchets.
Dropped on a deserted island.
Right. All right. So we'll do that in a couple of few. I was talking to Mark Garagos a little bit earlier in the day as we were taping our show, and we were talking about the woman who was arrested, who was the Epstein sort of...
Ghislaine Maxwell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no one can say her first name, so everyone just goes Miss Maxwell. But and what information she might have. And then I sort of really realized, I said to Mark, I think we can take the nation and divide them into two groups. Either there was a picture of you many years ago in blackface, or you're on the Epstein flight manifest. I think that's it. I think everyone is, you got to choose one, but someone is going to be, or possibly both, which is a bad day.
While on the flight.
Right. So I don't know who's nervous. And I was sort of asking him about that. And obviously we were talking about Trump, and then we were talking about, Clinton. We're talking about Clinton and Trump. And then I said, yeah, but you know who's really got to be scared about now? Jimmy Carter. And then he started laughing. And then I thought, yeah, see, here's the deal. You are sort of judged by your actions in life. And so when you go, who may be on that flight manifest? And you go, Trump. And you go, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah, I can see that. And then you go, well, how about Bill Clinton? Oh, yeah. I could do
that.
That's up. You go, well, how about Jimmy Carter? And you go, what? No, he builds houses for poor people.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's why you do good things in life versus fuck strays. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of that's how we work. And by the way, we're right to do that.
Yeah.
You go, well, you can't judge these guys. Like, well, I kind of can, but I'm also judging Jimmy Carter. You see, that's how it works.
Judging works both ways. You can judge someone positively.
Yeah. It's funny. I just had this conversation at my house. I was talking to Lynette, and she was kind of giving me the, well, here's what you think, and you judge, and you think of people this way or that way. And I go, I just think of people how they get me to think of them. That's what I do. Otherwise, I'd be a fool. I have people who I look at as one way, obviously. You know, look, I think about Mark Garagos quite a bit different than many folks who've worked here and been fired over the years, because they're different people and they act differently. And then I said to her, I said, hey, let's just look no further than our son, Sonny. 2 weeks ago, I thought of him as a lazy person who was sitting around drinking cola and playing video games. The last 2 weeks, the boy's been out in the yard with the pickaxe, working a sweat up and hitting it out of the ballpark. So didn't he just get us to look at him differently by his actions in a very short period of time?
Yeah.
That's the way life works.
Ironically, in a fortnight.
In a fortnight. Thank
Jesus
God
Christ.
You are good.
Jesus, on fire.
All right. Also, I was talking. It's funny. So I sent out a tweet. Somebody tweeted me. I woke up this morning and there was a, I had Uppity and Willie T on my mind because the New York Times wanted to do an article on Netflix and how woke they all were these days. And I said, well, yeah, they are, and that's good. But the real story about Uppity is how it was just sort of ignored by all the film festivals. And frankly, HBO, the guy was a douche at HBO. Like, he was insulting to me when I was saying, hey, I just got done watching like Andre the Giant at the HBO screening party. And I was like, oh, you guys like interesting sports docs or, you know, sort of, you know, not football, baseball, or basketball, but I got a sporting doc that I think you're going to find inspirational. The guy was insulting to me. He said I watched part of it, like a hard pass. Like, he was a dick. Everyone at HBO is a dick, by the way. And so I was like, HBO didn't want to have anything to do with it. Sundance didn't want to have anything to do with it. I don't know that the guy from the New York Times wanted that angle, but I gave it to him anyway. But I woke up this morning and somebody said, hey, how come it has no reviews by critics on Rotten Tomatoes? And I said, yeah, how come it has no reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, which it's 98% with the people, but it doesn't have any reviews with the critics, because the critics, they either sort of pass on stuff or they ignore you. Or not the critics, but Sundance will just ignore you, and then the critics will just Sundance will pass on you, and the critics will just ignore you. It's like you were never born. We couldn't get this thing sold anywhere. And the only reason it's on Netflix is because it got put there as a package. Netflix wanted the 24-hour war because Ford v. Ferrari was hot. Right. They wanted Shelby American because Shelby, of course, was hot. And then they took Uppity as part of, like, and we'll take Uppity.
Throw it in.
Right.
It's odd.
Yeah, it's odd. Anyway, that's the world we're living in. And I woke up and the guy said, why none? And I said, here's why none. And then somebody said, let's see, I wrote, how come it was rejected from every single film festival it was entered in? How come HBO, as well as many other networks, passed on it? What if it said directed by Ava DuVernay on it? You think things might be different? And then, you know, the people do the, oh, you're the one who says don't be a victim. So I want to address that, which is interesting. I tell people, don't think of yourself as a victim, but I'm not saying you can't be victimized. In this case, Willie T was victimized basically by the system because my name was on his documentary. That's my feeling. I don't think of myself as a victim. It doesn't mean if I'm walking my dog, someone can't hit me while they're driving drunk, and then I could be a victim of a drunk driver. I still wouldn't think of myself as a victim, but it's an interesting thing where people go, you always say, don't act like a victim or don't be a victim. And I completely wholeheartedly agree with that. What I'm saying is you can still be victimized. Mm-hmm. And I think we should draw a little distinction there. All right.
What? You owe Willie T. Ribs an apology.
Yes. Everyone owes Willie T. an apology. Let's see. Andy's 40 from New Mexico is probably on this subject. Andy?
How's it going, Adam?
What's going on?
Bald, Gina, thanks for taking my call. Thanks for really kicking it up a notch during this whole quarantine and keeping us all entertained.
Wow, thank you, Andy.
What? So my question was right along those lines, and you answered a lot of it. But even one of your wokest friends, Bill Simmons, passed on Willie T. Ribs for 30 for 30, didn't he?
No, he passed on the Newman doc as a 30 for 30. Not the Newman doc. He passed on the idea of the Newman doc for a 30 for 30. I said to him, why don't we do a 30 for 30 for Newman? And he said, maybe a short, Ace. Maybe like a 30 for 30 short. And I said, how long is a short? And he said, oh, it's like one break. And I said, so how long is it? And he said, like 8 or 9 minutes or something like that. And I thought, well, that doesn't seem like enough because Paul... Paul lived to, like, you know, 84, and he raced until the day he died. And I feel like there's more there than a nine-minute story. So I just went back and made a full-length doc on it. So I'm kind of glad.
Which was great.
Thanks. I'm kind of glad it wasn't a 30 for 30. But we may be doing a 30 for 30 on something coming up, and we'll talk about that at some point. But, no, Bill did not pass on Uppity.
Get him on the show. You need to get his woke meter calibrated. He's getting into a lot of trouble these days.
Well, look, whether it's Jimmy or it's Fallon or it's Simmons or whatever it is, there is no you can never be woke enough. It's impossible.
I found you through Simmons, and so I'm thankful to him. And you know, you're the two podcasts I listen to most. But I appreciate the fact that you're not unapologetic. You've stuck to your gun since, you know, the Loveline days. And listening to Simmons, he backtracks. He can't even do his Sunday podcast anymore with Ryan Rosillo because they misspoke. And, you know, it's just it's nice to have a common ground where, you know, you guys speak your mind and you let Bald and Gina speak their minds, too, and disagree with you sometimes or point shit.
Well,
and,
you know,
I don't know about that. Thank you.
Yeah, listen, I appreciate it, Andy. Look, here's the deal. Every word is being sifted. It's being put through a sieve, and everyone's mining for gold, but it's not gold. It's pyrite. It's stuff that looks good, but it has no value to it.
Okay. I was like, sure.
Fool's Gold. Pyrite.
Fool's gotcha.
Fool's Pyrite. Gold. Yeah.
The original title of the Matthew McConaughey movie.
Normally, hot chicks know all about geology, but all right. Yeah, pyrite is fool's gold. But so I'm saying is if you have a parent company or Disney owns you or whatever that thing is, and you got a whole bunch of people just listening to every word you say, trying to figure out a way to either twist it. By the way, these all woke, no joke assholes, they have a department, their historical preservation department, that goes over all the shit you said 20 years ago and newly unearthed footage of this thing from The Man Show or from Saturday Night Live or whatever it is, a podcast from 13 years ago. They have groups that are looking for old shit, and then they have another group that are listening, by the way, like the fucking KGB, like just sitting with their earphones on and a notepad listening in real time, trying to grab stuff to get your sponsors dropped, to get your parent company to drop you. And people have families and they have livelihoods and they have lifestyles and they would like to keep them. So I do not blame those who modify what they may or may not say based on that kind of intense scrutiny, the enhanced intense scrutiny that they're feeling. Everyone does it.
It's a business decision, like you said.
It's a business decision. I've said Drew Brees made a business decision when he took to Twitter and talked about not standing with the flag, and he makes a business decision when he does a hook slide after he breaks a 12-yard run up the middle. That these are business decisions. People go, put your head down and dive for extra yardage. Okay, you could be paralyzed. You could be out of the league. So I get it. Everyone's making business decisions. I do not blame them. It's called a business and a decision based on that. And look, I haven't made tons of great business decisions, as long as we're calling it that. And the result of that may be never participating at Sundance, zero reviews on Rotten Tomatoes for a movie that's very, very well regarded, and no New York Times bestseller list in my future. So that's I've made a bad business decision. That's it manifests itself in that way. All right. So I don't blame those who make those decisions. I do blame the people that are constantly trying to get those people removed from their livelihood, especially when it comes in the form of a late night show or a podcast. There's nothing easier to miss than a late night show or a podcast. Brian, ask me how many episodes of The View I've seen in the last 10 years.
Oh, The View is great. Have you caught up with it?
Zero. Right. I don't watch. Not interested. And you could also find 100 podcasts I have no interest in. It's very easy to keep walking. I get this thing where, you know, you're not allowed to get the PA system at the high school and yell a bunch of hateful things into it after they sing Grand Old Flag. I get that. That permeates every classroom, that hits every ear. But a podcast, a late night show, or whatever, in this day of the, I don't know, 700,000 podcasts on iTunes, and God knows everyone has 500 TV channels. How about you just fucking watch the shit you enjoy and support the shit you enjoy? How about that?
Keep walking.
Do you have to monitor shows you hate? And by the way, who's the joke on? You hate this show, you know. You hate Laura Ingraham. Fine. You've never missed an episode because you have to monitor every single episode. Right. Jesus Christ, everyone, just get on with it. Just fucking get on with it.
Ironically supporting her. Like, you know, the water reaches its own level. If no one watches show A because they don't like it, they don't agree with the message, whatever it is, that show's going to go away eventually if enough people feel that way.
And also, last I checked, you know, people lived to 76, 77 years of age. We're not fucking giant sea turtles who live to 185. We're going to die pretty soon. You know, we're on the clock here, people.
Yeah.
Let's make a little hay while the sun is shining.
At least let others make a little hay while the sun is shining.
It wouldn't hurt. All right. Let's see. Ooh, Matt's got it. Wants to talk about Greyhound, the Tom Hanks movie. What's going on? I need this movie.
Well, howdy there. All right. So if you need this, I heard this today. And hello, Bald and Gina. But this is for Ace. This is between you and me, man.
All right.
I'm a submarine sailor myself, and this movie, I was looking forward to it just like you. I found out that, yes, it is being released in July, like in the next couple of weeks here, but it's being distributed by Apple, Apple TV. So I don't know if that means theatrical release. So I got to tell you, I'm heartbroken is a word that I'm using right now. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
Meaning you can't see it in a movie theater?
I don't know. Right. I just knew that Apple TV bought distribution rights when this whole COVID thing went down. And, you know, it got pushed back from April or whenever it was supposed to be. Does anybody got any idea?
Well, I want to talk about you being a submarine sailor.
Yeah, don't bury the lead.
all right, I'll tell you everything you need to know.
Yeah, make sure and send us a lot of pictures so we can arrest you later on. Put you in the clink.
Yeah, Variety says.
I shouldn't use my real name.
Variety says
it makes its global debut on July 10th exclusively on the 7-month-old platform Apple TV.
So will not be in theater.
But this year, first of all, it'll be in a theater at your house, so you're okay, Adam. But also, Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't there a policy change? Thank you. Isn't there a policy change with the Oscars this year that you can still be considered for an Oscar if it's not theatrical?
Yeah, it used to be you had to have at least 1 week in a theater prior to your, or simultaneous or prior to your on-demand release or whatever streaming, but this year the 1 year exception, so this will be eligible for Oscars. Apple TV needs to make a splash, no pun intended. It's a submarine movie, but like they launched and they don't have a ton of like exclusive content that everyone's like, oh, have you seen this? Oh, have you seen that? So this is going to go a long way for them. This is a smart move.
I agree. Yeah.
Tell us what kind of equipment you're on.
I was on it. Well, not anymore. This was way back when, but I was on a fast tech submarine, a Los Angeles class. I was a sonar technician. So I, you know, sat on the stacks and I listened to the different sounds the ocean was making, told the captain if it was a merchant ship, if it was a warship, if it was a submarine, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that was, you know, doing triangulation, finding ranges. So that was my gig for a while.
Could you hear whales?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I snatched some recordings of them and have them on my hard drive, too, like, just because of that. When I went, we went up to the North Pole, up beneath the ice and listened to that. It was awesome. It was, I can't compare it to anything.
It's crazy that you take, that they take the sub underneath the ice.
That's so crazy. I know. And they,
it's scary. And they give you this special sonar that tells you how thick the ice is. When you go underneath it, it's incredible stuff.
How thick is the ice, basically, or average?
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. That's classified. I can't. It really depends. It could be 70 something feet, 60, dozens of feet, up by the caps.
Well, not anymore with climate change. Wah, wah.
Hey. You
just don't ask about Santa.
You must be very aware of the Partridge Family episode where they sung a song with whale songs, the songs of the whales, the sounds of the whales by it. Matt?
Adam, I got to tell you, I'm usually able to keep up with you on this, but I'm only 36, man.
I know. I know. Chris will find it. They did a whole. It's funny. It's when Partridge Family jumped the whale. It was like the episode where they got into ecology and saving the whales and all that. At some point, these shows get a little woke and they start getting into causes and stuff like that. And they went down to Marineland and sung a song that they composed with whale sounds.
Wow.
Underneath it. Yeah. Some of Bert Convy's best work, I would add.
Unfortunately, out in the 70s.
Yeah, you weren't born. Here we go. We'll play.
Unfortunately, Chris found it.
Yeah.
The B-roll.
Mm. Recognize this one, Matt?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. This is a northern dialect. It's very...
Hold on, you guys know what this song's about? Whale song.
Let's see how it plays out.
I've been looking for a new audition ballad. A story as gently you go.
Whale song. Oh, my dad's showing it.
Awesome, please.
My dad's sitting in with the Partridge Family.
Sing me a song of times that you knew.
All right. When the water. All right, one more, Dawson. Go on, sorry.
Jesus Christ.
All right, this is all that was on TV when I was a kid. Jeez. That's all. I was forced to watch entire episodes of this.
Humpback.
There was nothing
humpback,
else to
I
do.
I believe that was. Humpback.
Not a sperm, not a blue.
No. There was a killer in the vid.
I don't want to insult. Forget it.
So, Matt, how long could you stay submerged before coming up to the surface? Was it an indefinite period of time?
More or less. With the advent of nuclear propulsion and submarines and all that, which is basically all our fleet is right now, it's basically just how much food do you have? It's people. I mean, the nuclear reactor can go for years and years and years.
And you can make oxygen.
And there you are. Right. Yeah, you can take it along with you. You can. There's recycled air. There's a lot you can do with modern technology.
Thanks for your service, Matt. Appreciate it.
Relevant, awesome. Relevant question.
I appreciate
Matt.
You guys.
Yeah, thanks
hey,
for
Matt,
listening.
I want to bring a full circle, Matt, if you're still there. Your favorite or maybe one or two submarine movies, either based on accuracy or just they're damn entertaining?
For entertainment, Hunt for Red October. And one of the things in the sonar shack with Jonesy in the very beginning, you'll see as they pan across as he's training Seaman Beaumont, there's a little roll of toilet paper. That's accurate because we use that little China markers to write down like formulas and stuff on our little stack. And we use the little toilet paper thing to rub out our mistakes. And so that's accurate. So somebody that was on a submarine was on that movie. The other one that's probably the most accurate to how submarine life is got to be Down Periscope.
Oh, yeah.
The Kelsey Grammer movie?
Yeah.
We're nuts. You know what I mean? We're a bananas type of people. Yes. We don't have time for a lot of pomp and circumstance, and sonar, you know, was my character in that.
Thank you, Matt. And yeah, I mean, think about who that branch would attract. You know, being under the polar caps and the sub, and they could stay under for indefinitely. So that was my first favorite whale based theme. Find Jonah in the Belly of the Whale. That's my second favorite whale song. Yeah, you guys should watch a little Love Boat and a little Partridge Family just to kind of see where we were at in the 70s.
It's kind of cheating if you write a whale song, but you just go whale song. That's like writing a song about love and just going, love song.
Yeah, no, I know. And also, you bussing the whale in to perform in front of you. I mean, come on.
It's defeating your purpose.
We'll write a song about a car. Car song.
Car song.
Four wheels on it.
Look, obviously they were just shitting this stuff out and handing it over. Keith was like, oh, thank Christ, I don't have to sing the fucking whale song. Because he normally has to do the heavy lifting. Everyone else has to just pretend to play an instrument behind him. Do we have our song, Max Batson?
Jonah? I mean, there's a bunch of versions of this one. Just any?
The one that was a hit.
Okay, let me look.
You've heard it. You've heard it in my car before a few times. Let me talk to you. I don't have the spot, by the way, that you want either, Max Pata. Phil, 42, North Hollywood.
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
What's going on?
Being a ball. I was listening to yesterday's podcast, and it spurned a lot of ideas in my mind. I work in artificial intelligence, doing machine learning training, things like that. And with the advent of COVID, a lot of ideas are being very quickly accelerated. And when you guys were talking about the attack row concept, the police going away, you know, the power vacuum, I was wondering, you've got to know that in China and in private industry, they're accelerating and putting the gas on fully kind of automated AI-driven police forces, you know, things that were probably from automated vehicles to drones to, you know, Boston Dynamic-type robots. I was wondering what your take is on that and if the U.S. is ready for that. I think that it may be time.
I
would caveat it to say that you can absolutely have it so that they're 100% non-lethal if that's the charter. But
this
just
is the part of RoboCop.
You know how this ends.
Well,
fucking Ed 209 running around.
Yeah. I like technology, and I like technology in the hands of Elon Musk, but I don't like it so much for the government. I worry that they – here's what I worry about. Our government was sort of initial – the initial plan was, you know, you guys pave the roads and have a fire department and an army and police force and you know, try to keep the water clean. And then you kind of get out of the way and let everyone just kind of go about their life as long as they're being safe and they're paying their taxes and they're not hurting other people. But, you know, like I've always said, take beavers and put them on top of the Empire State Building. They're going to start looking for wood to build a dam because that's what beavers do. They just build a dam. And I'm now realizing that the people we elect to govern, they like a little governing and they like a lot of governing and they just want to kind of keep governing. Like that the idea is like, hey, look, you take a bunch of people and you put them in a room and you go, all right, you guys come up with some rules. And they go, oh, okay. But that's their marching orders. Then they're doing what they're doing. I always tell people, look at the sign at the beach. Now, we can't use the beach right now, but the sign every year gets two more things you can't do on the beach. Well, it's not a coincidence that there are two more things every year. It's because they're making rules. That's what they're doing. What else would they do? You put them in a place and pay them to make rules.
They're called lawmakers.
Right. And they never peel them off and they never undo them and they never whatever. Anyone who has dealt with the Department of Building and Safety for as long as I have knows that every time you show up 18 months later, 2 years later, you go, okay, I want to. And they go, oh, no, we're not doing that anymore. You have to do this. And now you do that. And then you go, well, we're going to shear wall one side. No, we're going both sides now. Now they need both sides. And you go, okay. And then they go, oh, so half inch anchors. And I go, no, 5/8. They moved. And every time I go, oh, we always used half inch. I go, no, they moved it up. They're doing a different thing. I don't know. It's like the ticket price in Disneyland used to be $9. Now it's $189. You think it's going to start rounding down and going the other?
Doubtful.
No, it just keeps going. So that's the part about the government that scares me. Is it just feels like I'd like them to utilize this technology. I'm now starting to worry about what they would use it for and what they would enforce, and also become abundantly clear to me that they've figured out who can give them money and who can't give them money. And if you're homeless or you're here illegally or you want to, you know, Mark Garagos's business is shut down. The guys selling hot dogs on the sidewalk in front of his business are not shut down. They're what you call empty bags. And the government seems to keep walking when they see them. So this scares me. As a taxpayer, we have Burning Sensations, 1983, with one of my favorite, nay, my second favorite whale themed song ever. Whale song. It's a little more nuanced.
How about conch shell?
Oh, yeah. Well, too far. Come on.
It's awesome. Please.
This is the only reggae beat approved song in my repertoire. Good bass line. Video hasn't aged a day.
What kind of crazy party is this?
Are they like backstage at a rehearsal? For
everyone was high on coke in the 80s.
Okay.
The Pirates of Pinsir. Whenever the big fella cracks a grin and when the time and the place is
right, you sit down, sip some bouillabaisse. You sip your bouillabaisse?
He's trapped in the belly of a whale.
Oh.
He's got a candle. He can get a lot of reading done. Not for him. He's in the belly of a whale. Two lovers' hearts are
rising. Well, people in that well.
It's going to kick in.
Boy, I hope so.
Oh, here we go. Burning sensations. All right, you get the riff. I love this song.
I like whale song better.
It's got a big end. Sing a little whale song. Get to the end of that song. It kicks. It kicks at the end, Max Zapata. Sing a little whale song, Gina.
Whale song, majestic mammal, swims through the water so proud. Is that what she says? I don't know.
Well, I've always said the mark of garbage in art is if you can just free form exactly what Shirley Partridge did, and I can't really tell the difference. Like, she's singing, they're singing, the words are the same. I don't know, one's better or worse. You're literally just doing.
Yeah.
That, you know what? It's why we love sports. Because I can't go, hey, Michael Jordan, give me that basketball. Clear out of here. Now check it out.
Let me show you something.
Check it out. I'm going to do a 360 jam myself. Like, what would that look like? Yeah. But you can just do what she did.
Yeah.
All right.
Hold on.
We'll give you the end.
I don't think it's a compliment to me. I think it's an insult to Shirley Jones.
It is. Sorry. We'll play the end. Ah, sacked. Must have been an English band. I don't think they had any other hits.
No, they're from L.A. They're,
oh, that's right.
They're also known for covering Pablo Picasso in the movie Repo Man.
Oh. Well, there you go.
Okay.
And the singer Tim McGovern, the founder at least, was a member of the Motels.
Oh, the Motels.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys remember the Motels?
Mm. Who was the chick in that?
Martha Davis?
Suddenly One Summer, I think. There had a couple of sons.
Martha Davis.
Only the Lonely.
Summer. Only the Lonely. Yeah, they had a couple of hits. I think she died early or something, or tragically or something.
Martha Davis?
I think so.
I know she used to come on Phillips show on KLSX all the time.
I got her mixed up with the Divinals. I touched myself, lady.
She
all right,
die.
Let me hit Dodge here. Summer, best time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle. And that's what you'll do when you get with Dodge. Dodge, they got power dollars, $10 off based on the total horsepower of your Dodge. Every 2020 Challenger, Durango, and Charger. Enjoy the sweet sounds of the Dodge Charger SRT Scat Packs. 485 horsepower. That is bang for your buck, man. 485 horsepower, and you get $4,850 off. You see? See how that works? If you've done the math, the summer power dollars are back and it's on. You can get it on the Dodge Durango performance-driven SUV. This is a fast SUV. Make summer trips a breeze. Fit everyone in the Durango's 7-passenger seating capacity as well. Get more power and get more horsepower and get more grunt, man. It is simple. Hurry to your local Dodge dealer. Now, take advantage of the Dodge Power Dollars. All right, let's see. Yeah, Chrissy Applett, I think, died in 2013, divinals. Let's take ourselves a quick break. Come right back to the news with Gina Grad right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Just to give a few more details, and I'm sure we can find many more on Reasonable Doubt with Adam and Mark, but Ghislaine Maxwell, at least that's the way I've heard it pronounced through multiple podcasts about Epstein, she has been arrested. She's known as the former girlfriend, confidant of Epstein. She's accused of conspiring with the late financier to sexually abuse young girls and groom them for sex with Epstein's wealthy associates. Maxwell was arrested in Bedford, New Hampshire, and is due to appear in court later today as we record this. Several of Epstein's accusers have identified Maxwell as his madam who helped to exploit dozens of underage girls. Her arrest comes almost 1 year after Epstein's suicide. Epstein refused to say when he was alive that she assisted him in any way. So I guess he's pretty protective of her. And also, she's the heiress of late British media tycoon Robert Maxwell. So she came from a certain pedigree.
Yeah, I'm interested in hearing.
What did Mark say?
He or his thoughts or impressions. He took a deep dive into Barr and he got a little over my head on what was going on from a legal standpoint. He sort of he didn't throw out any names. He didn't really have any real concerns just yet, but he's definitely interested. And I mean, obviously, they're going to try to get her to roll over on a bunch of people. They're not interested in her. They're interested in what she knows. And so they're going to get her to sing. I do want to say this. We have to be careful. I'm interested in hearing all the stories, but the pictures where there's the drunk guy and his arm is around her, that is not evidence. Because I've taken so many pictures with so many assholes when I'm drunk at some place or some party or something. We all do that thing where it's like, look at them. There's a picture. And their arm's around the other guy. It's like I have 700,000 of those of me with people that are possibly racist, pedophiles, murderers, the worst members of our community. I'm sure there's a picture of me with all of them.
Yo, if you just get me after a live show or a cruise and I will run up and jump on you and kiss your cheek for a picture. Oh, my God.
Yes. So that we're going to need more than that. But I'll be curious to see. He said that they're also, I think, going after the pilots. You know, think about his personal pilots. I mean, the personal pilots have the flight manifest, right? And those guys, who knows better than those two who's on and off that plane? I mean, they made every single flight, theoretically, whereas everyone else sort of traded out.
Especially if someone notable, you'd be like, yeah, Bill Clinton was on that plane. I remember that very well.
Right. So we shall see.
Yeah. Meanwhile, a big congrats and a huge mazel tov to Russian President Vladimir Putin. He may not be leaving office for a while after official results published by the Kremlin show that nearly 78% of voters have approved constitutional changes, allowing Putin to run for 2 more 6-year terms after his current one ends in 2024. So if he chooses to remain in office for 2 more terms, he'll be 84 when he leaves office.
You guys aren't old enough to have felt probably the full yo-yo effect, but you know, the Cold War was, you know, raging hard when I landed on the planet. First 16 years of my life, maybe 17 years, it was Cold War, Cold War, Cold War, mutually assured destruction, blah, blah, blah. Then we got into this perestroika stuff where it's like, oh, okay. Oh, hey, good news. Moving toward the light. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. And I was like, woo, David Hasselhoff's performing a song over there in German. And he's singing the whale song on the wall. And
off to the races.
Feeling pretty good about ourselves. And now it's right back. Now it's back.
Well, he's been president for 20 years, and there was little doubt the referendum would pass, according to NBC News. So I think he would be, 16 years from now would be, 2 6-year terms after he's done in 2024. So he's going to be around a while, and the people clearly have a lot of confidence in him because that was an overwhelming majority. Well, that's approval.
If he wins in 2024, Gina,
well, that's a very good point.
Possibility.
You know, it's I know we never blame the people, but I like to blame the people. There are certain groups that really want to be led by a strong-armed guy versus we're not really wired that way. We want to do our own thing. But certain groups like we need Saddam Hussein in there, keeping the law. Like there's a certain population.
You don't think we're wired that way? I think that was Trump's. Not he's not a killer like Saddam Hussein or like going to keep people in line with mustard gas. But I think his whole most of his appeal was I'm tough. I'm going to America first, that whole thing. I think the tough guy thing is what people responded to.
Well, there's two angles, two ways to think about this. One is the 47% of the country likes it. The other wants to burn it down. So it's still not us. You know what I mean?
Point.
I mean, it's literally, obviously he won the Electoral College, but he lost the popular vote. So of people who voted, it's a smaller group that wants that. Number two, there's a difference between sort of patriotic and being sort of bossed around and bossing around, other countries. I think they have a kind of a tough guy, kind of a mentality. Like they like Russia being tough and being in charge and sort of being number one or whatever their version of that is. And whoever you voted for, I think we're a little more live and let live, but certain cultures are attracted to that. Well, look, certain women like a guy who's the boss and he's in charge and he's going to protect them and he's going to fight for them and stuff. And then others want the guy with the man bun who's,
sensitive.
Yeah, sensitive. I mean,
those are our choices.
I think they want they want the Dolph Lundgren type. So
I guess I'm in charge.
It's kind of they also have a sort of pride in that they should probably. As I go through this life, I worry about people with pride and nations with pride and too much pride. It tends to. It's sort of like, who cares if my life's shit and I'm an alcoholic and the stores are empty. We're going to show everyone who we are. Like, we're going to regain this power, this greatness or something.
Now, I don't know enough. I know nothing about their election process, but how much of that percentage do you think is people that are truly afraid that they will be exposed, their vote will be exposed and they'll find out who you voted for.
I'm sure it's all a shit show. And like, who knows? Who do we think would come up behind him? You know what I mean? Like, what if he didn't get in? And then who's the next person? You know what I mean? It's like
Kim Jong-un, Kim Jong-il.
You're right. All right. Mexico gets one guy who then gets in with the drug cartels. And then the next guy gets in and gets in with the drug cartels. Like, anyway, I wish it'd be so nice if these countries could get their shit together.
It's so nice, 2020.
Big ask.
Right. Yeah, I know.
Speaking of that, I thought I had a story about the drug cartels that I wanted to tell you. I don't. I'll just mention. Oh, here it is, right here. Speaking of which, armed members of a Mexican drug gang stormed into a private drug rehab facility two days ago, and opened fire, killing 24 people, wounding 7 others. Authorities in central Mexico, the city of Irapuato.
24 people?
Yes.
In a drug rehab facility?
And I'll give you a possibility as to why that happened.
Was a witness? Like a witness thing?
Say gunmen appeared to have ordered everyone inside the facility to lie down on the floor and then shot them all. No motive has been given for the attack, although authorities say the city has been the site for a turf war between a drug cartel and a local drug group. It was reported, I don't know if this was NBC News, it may have been, but it says oftentimes drug dealers in Mexico seek refuge inside rehabs to hide from cartel members. So they could have been hiding out there, but unclear at this point.
Well, Ed Calderon's coming on a little later this month, so we'll definitely get into this with him. This happened yesterday?
As people hear this 2 days ago.
Yeah. God damn. Our news is so Trumped and COVID-19'd up that the fucking... And by the way, Mexico is such a shit show that they executed 24 people. It's like, I never even heard of this. No. I mean, what? This is a...
Tried to keep it COVID light today.
This is a big goddamn... That's a big story. And it's like, not even... It's two sad things. One is we're all over Trump and COVID. And the other thing is we don't expect that much out of Mexico. Because if this happened in Canada, don't you think we'd be hearing about it?
I'm going to be up.
Right. This has now become sort of Chicago's inner city. Like a couple of kids got shot. Moving on. It's what they do. You know what I mean? Like, all you have to do is we have a border with Canada. We have a border with Mexico. If in Canada they rounded up 24 people, put them on a floor and executed them, I think we'd hear about it.
Yeah. It also says drug gangs are also known to recruit new members at rehab facilities. So
this isn't working.
Yeah, that's not the way. Seems that there's a tie there, but unclear what the reason is and if we'll ever find out. So back to some political stuff. A group of officials who worked for the campaigns and administration of President George W. Bush have announced the formation of 43 Alumni for Biden. It's a new super PAC designed to convince Republicans who aren't satisfied with Trump to vote for Biden. And the super PAC says, quote, principles matter more than politics. That's why we, a group of alumni who serve President Bush and other Republican presidents, governors, and members of Congress, support Joe Biden for president. Together, we can help restore decency, honor, dignity, and true leadership to the White House.
I think I had the chaos theory a while back, and I'm sticking with it. I think if we can be chaotic enough in this country up until close enough to the election that people are just going to fuck it. I just want it all to stop. I just want to get back to normal. I don't care who's in there. Just get in there. Let's just get back to normal. I think that's the theory. I'm sticking with it, and I think it's going to be effective.
I've seen a lot of people. Random people tweeting similar versions of that theory. So it feels like it's kind of bubbling to the surface. Like people just want a break. People just want like out of the madness.
Well, and Joe Biden isn't Nader, you know, or Bernie. I mean, Joe Biden, I would imagine, is considered as moderate and conservative as you're going to get on the Democrat side. So, I'm sure all those guys go way back.
It
doesn't matter what party they are.
He's not even, he probably would have been unrecognizable politically 25 years ago to what kind of stuff they talk about today. The worry is that he's going to be dictated to by the AOCs of the world. That's kind of the worry, that he's not that woke and he's not that radical and he's not that anything, but he's going to have to start acting that way to satisfy that branch of the party.
All
but
right.
Let's hope.
Well, how well is that going to work when he's constantly challenging people to fight in push-up contests?
It really is.
He's feisty, man. All right, let's do one more, Gina Graham.
Oh, good. If we get to nothing else today, this is the most important story. The 2020 edition of Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest that is on July 4th every year will now be open for legal betting in 3 states. For the first time, gaming officials in New Jersey, New Hampshire, and Colorado have approved betting on the event, allowing legal sports books to set odds and take wagers. In New Jersey, wagers will be limited to the event itself and must be in before the contest begins. So if you live in one of those 3 states and you want to bet on either, I think Joey Chestnut for the men and Mickey Sudo for the women are the favorites.
You know, it's weird. I was looking at some COVID stats today, and I looked at the list. I was a little surprised. New York was on top with 32,000 deaths. I was just looking at deaths or deaths per 100,000 or something. The place that is a complete shit show is New Jersey, who we've kind of skipped past New Jersey. It's like it's like New York, New York, New York, and then we go Texas, Florida, Texas, Florida, Texas, Florida, California, Texas, Florida. Texas is like, I don't know, 4,000 people dead. Arizona's like 2,000. Florida's 6,000 or something. New Jersey's 15,000. But somehow,
really,
we're all New York. And, you know, New York's like 32, and then New Jersey's like 15, and then everyone else is like 4,000. And we just went right past them.
And pound for pound, think of how many New Jerseys you could fit inside Texas.
Right.
I mean, my God.
I watched the news. It's like we do some New York, and then we go to Texas, and we go to Florida, and then we pop back to California, mm-hmm. and maybe a little dusting of Arizona. I'm not hearing any. There's no New Jersey talk, and they're the second. Mm-hmm. They have the second most, and a lot.
That's crazy.
I mean, and by they've got 15,000 deaths, which is three times as much as Texas, or four times as much as Texas, or many of these other places we keep talking about. And we don't do good or bad. Like, we don't do, you know, praise for the governor. Or, well, this guy's killing people in old age homes. It's like I haven't heard anything about New Jersey, and they're bad.
Do you think it's because everyone considers New Jersey New York's tugboat, and we just assume if it's happening in New York, it's happening in New Jersey?
Texas has 2,500 deaths. California has 6,000, and New Jersey has over 15,000.
My only guess, and I don't know for this to be a fact, someone can verify this, do they have a lot of deaths early on and it's tapering off like New York? Because the stories now, of course, are who's increasing, right? Texas and Florida. So my only guess is that maybe, you know, 3 months or 3 months ago news. I don't know.
Well, we'll look more into it. And the stories are really, the deaths aren't going up that much. The real story is infections, and then are the infections going to result in deaths? I don't know, Max Paddock, can you read that or figure that out? Let's see.
Yeah, so, yeah.
New York is almost 32, California is 6 plus, Texas is 2,500, New Jersey's 15,000, Florida's 3,500. I mean, how much more Florida talk have you heard than New Jersey?
And New Jersey, I assume the number underneath is the increase, and if it is, then New Jersey has a huge increase, and New York has 11. Which I'm assuming, I don't know for a fact, but that's what I...
Now, here's the other thing, too. Massachusetts has 8,000, which just gets it under New Jersey and way above Florida and Texas and California. It's like we haven't had any Massachusetts talk either. All right. We'll get into more of that in the upcoming shows. Let me hit True Niagen. I've been taking cellular health vitamin True Niagen for a few months now, and I feel fantastic. Damn-tastic. Dr. Drew's been hitting this stuff for, I guess, a number of years now. As we get older, our bodies experience a near 50% decline in NAD, which negatively affects the health of our cells and body. Lifestyle stressors like intense exercise, lack of sleep, stress on the immune system, overeating also deplete NAD because cells expend more energy to function. Backed by Nobel Prize winning scientists, clinical research and global regulatory approvals as well. Support cellular energy and defense. Visit True Niagen. That is TRUNIAGEN.com. Use the code Adam. This is the real deal. Take it every day. Get $20 off any 3 month plus supply ending July 31st. Travis Pastrana is coming up next. So we'll hop on with him. Gina Bald, great job, and we'll see you guys soon, and we'll take a quick break, come back with Travis Pastrana right after this.